There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
You're funny,
scumbag.
Get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that keeps playing with, you know, science-y things. I don't know. I have nothing
sci-fi
today.
We play with sci-fi-y things.
Sure. That's what it was. And joining me, as always, is Lee. Lee, how you doing?
Hi, I am, you know, I'm feeling very sci-fi geeky right now. I finished Stranger Things. We've already been telling people everybody should be watching this. Seriously. Really. The X-Files, Steven Spielberg, and what was the other one, John?
Stephen King.
Stephen King. Mm-hmm. They had a baby. And it's the most beautiful baby ever, even though it's a little scary. And sometimes you only want to look at it sideways or through your fingers. But it's a beautiful, beautiful baby. And if you have Netflix, do watch it because it's awesome. So that was great. And then the other thing is I'm just kind of like feeling all enveloped with it. Because first of all, today is our signage deadline. So I have to do some Dragon Con work. And the other thing is I went to go see the new Star Trek movie last night.
Okay. And?
And first of all, if Chris Pine looks much more like William Shatner during his younger days, it's going to get a little scary. And I think we're going to have to do a DNA test. And also, it's a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun. There are a lot of just kind of neat little points. It's a lot. You get a lot more with the crew interacting. And there are some great quotable lines. And I will not spoil them because some of them are just hysterical. But, you know, it was just great. And this is the Bones I remember from all the shows. And so thank you, Carl Urban. It was great. So it's a lot of fun. But, you know, I feel sci-fi, but I feel science-y. Because, you know, there's science in Stranger Things.
Science!
Mm-hmm. Science! Mm-hmm. There's science. And then there's science in Star Trek they were talking about. Like radio frequencies and so, but the problem is,
wait,
it's
there's
not
hold on, wait, wait. So, wait. Are you telling me that there is science in sci-fi?
Just a, but yeah,
well, no. Sure. Hold on, my whole world has just completely changed.
I know,
all right, go on. Let me sit over here
really
and think about
weird
that.
Science. It's really weird science, and it don't work.
Science.
Some of it doesn't work.
You think?
Well, just a little.
Well, I will say this yet. Yet.
Yeah. I'm really waiting on those transporters that I can walk down the street and then go, you know what? I feel like going to Paris.
That is just a dangerous.
Why is that dangerous?
Proposition. Okay. Never mind. You had something else to say. Perhaps
but
a transition.
It's science. And you know what? I want to understand the science. And I don't know if we can. Can we get to real science in sci-fi?
No. Dragon Con doesn't even have any of that because Dragon Con doesn't believe in real science.
We do believe in real science because we have a science track.
What? No.
We do.
No. Prove it. Prove it. It isn't true science until it's proven. So prove it.
I want to introduce Stephen Grenade.
Grenade.
Yes, hello.
I got it right. Who is the science track director at Dragon Con? Ha ha. I win.
It has been proven.
It is no longer pseudoscience. It is now science.
It is real science. Science. Okay, so, Stephen, you are... Okay, so also, a lot of people, you know his face because he's been in a lot of the Dragon Con TV stuff. So,
and if you've been to a post office lately.
Right. That's not... Stop that. Be good. So, so you have seen him. Often people will say, oh, I thought he was Jonathan Colton. He's not. He does a lot of the He did a lot of the Jonathan Colton things, but
yeah, we covered a lot of Jonathan Colton's or did videos to Jonathan Colton songs. Which,
of course we did, which is what we should all do. So just curious here, What? How did you get involved in the science track? And what is the science track? Because if you're going to be able to show me how I can get a transporter in the next 2 years, I'll be really, really excited.
I mean, well, I'm not going to be able to do that last one, at least not without a whole big change in what we understand about physics. Sorry. See, also faster than light travel. I wish. We need to find something. We need to come up with some way of doing that. So the science track, we really talk about science and science fiction and where those combine. You know, we do deep dives into specific scientific topics. Like this year, I've got a virologist who's coming to talk about the Zika virus and why mosquitoes suck.
both literally and figuratively.
Yes, exactly.
The bestest pun ever.
Yes. She suggested that for the title. I was like, Jessica, you were correct. That has to be the title.
Done.
But we also do, for example, we're going to try to recreate Captain America's super soldier serum. You know, how would we do that with science? Science in Star Wars, you know, all these kinds of things. And I sort of wandered into it. It was one of those cases where I was volunteering for Dragon Con because some of my friends did. And so it was my chance to kind of, you know, hang out with them over a weekend and work my tail off. And they were really amused that they had a physicist running around, you know, pulling cable under the stages and standing guard over rope lines and things like that. And that word filtered back to the person who was directing the science track at the time. He's like, well, do you want to come and talk about science? I said, yeah, sure. And so I just got more and more involved. And when they needed someone new to take over running the science track, they asked me if I would do it. And I was again saying, sure.
Yeah. Sucker.
I have nothing to,
we
to
found
do for
one.
I have nothing to do for the 3 months prior to Dragon Con. Sure.
Yeah. What else would I do with my life except try to find people and put them on panels and rearrange panels and select signs and plan for hands-on events and things like that? Sure. Sure. That sounds like a lark.
just, you know, everyday things. So,
right.
So again, we've gone over this, you know, for several years, but it is the typical, it seems to be the typical theme with directors. I happen to be in the wrong place at the right time.
Yeah, exactly.
But in a good way.
Yeah. No, I did sign up full knowledge of what I was getting myself into, and I've done it. This will be my third year, so clearly there's something keeping me coming back.
Mm-hmm. We love what we do. If we didn't love what we do, we would not be here.
Now you were pulling cable because you were working with the AV team, correct, at the time?
That's right. I was on technical AV. Operations or tech ops.
Yeah, tech ops. And that's how you kind of got in. You were involved in that because of, oh God, now I forgot his name. Brian?
Yes.
Or just meet him there. Yeah.
One of my local friends here volunteered for tech ops and said, hey, you should come and do this. And I'd never sort of thought of myself as a convention going person. And having never been to one, I sort of had this, I don't know, this really terrible stereotypical view. I was like, I'm not like those nerds, but no, I'm exactly like those nerds. And my friend was friends with Brian, and I showed up about the time that Brian started making films. Right. And I was already doing tech ops because I've also got a theater background. So I had done lighting and sound and run the AV equipment. And he was looking for people who might be willing to be filmed. And with a theater degree, a lot of your shame gets burned away. So I said, sure, you'll show it in front of 10,000 people. What's the big deal?
Hold on. 70. You have a film degree?
A
theater degree and a physics degree?
Yes, I have a BA in theater arts.
Wow.
Well, the problem was in college, I was kind of a member of the major of the month club, but I didn't understand that you were supposed to drop them when you went to a new one. So I sort of ended up with a poker hand of majors.
So you have theater and physics.
And chemistry.
And so, chemistry. So you have you have three different, like, you finished those majors.
Yes. So I graduated with a bachelor's of science in physics and chemistry dual major and a bachelor's of arts in theater with a math minor.
So you're
I didn't sleep a lot for 5 years.
So you're,
I'm sorry. I'm giggling at that because I'm thinking, and where did you go to get that kind of a poker hand of majors.
I went to a liberal arts college.
Yes, there we go. Liberal arts schools, baby, for the win. How many majors do you want to take? We can figure it out. There you go.
You're going to do a 21-hour load? Sure. Kill yourself.
Sure.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, it's fun.
So you're an underachiever is what we're really saying.
That's really
right.
There you go. Yeah.
Or indecisive. Or probably an overachiever and...
Dear Lord, help us. Okay, sorry. We're getting into this. I'm sorry. We're just kind of going down a rabbit hole here. Because I did not know, in all the years we've talked, I did not know about the theater major thing.
It's a weird thing to, like, there are only sometimes that you bring that up.
Yeah,
like,
it's not something that you just drop in normal conversation. You know, by the way, I'm a theater major. Like, I have a theater BA. Yeah, I have a BA in theater. Yeah, but it is very interesting. I'm sorry. So, okay, and keep going. How you got involved with Con? Sorry.
Well, so my friend dragged me and my wife Misty, and we volunteered, and I got involved with Brian and doing the Dragon Con TV stuff, and it all snowballed from there to the point where I was running the science track. And the part where the BA in theater actually helps is that what we're doing on the science track is not science per se, it's science communication and outreach. And so I've got some experience in putting on events that are entertaining and then, you know, sort of marrying that with the informative side of the things that we do.
Cool.
Okay. So
wrong place, right time, right experience, I guess.
Yeah. And with the theater major, you don't get nervous about being in panels or moderating panels or introducing people. So you have that going for you as well. Very cool. Very cool.
So who do you have this year for guests?
Who do I have this year?
Yeah.
So we have,
thus far, and, as always, these things are tentative.
Everything's tentative. So butts in a seat.
So we've got a couple of people coming back who have experience both as scientists and working in the entertainment industry. Kevin Grazier is coming back.
Yay!
He's going to be talking about his book, Hollyweird Science. You know, he was the science advisor for Battlestar Galactica, for the Defiance, for a bunch of different things. Like, if you go and look at his IMDb page, it's pretty dang long. And we also have...
Also from a paranormal perspective, he's also in some of the shows with Hangar 51 or Ancient Aliens or what's the other one? He's been on those kind of shows. He talks about the science of it. I don't say he believes or not. I'd love to know. I'm not going to say. But he does talk about the science related to a lot of these. Like, well, if we were going to do that, this is what we'd have to. He's very, very good at it.
Yeah. Okay. No,
Kevin
that's great.
Is like, I like Kevin. Every time I see him on my screen, I'm like, yay,
there's Kevin,
a non-crazy person. Although he does like, if you follow his Facebook page, he also likes rodents.
A lot about rats. Yep. Yes, it's rats.
I can't do rats. Okay.
No. We've also got Mika McKinnon coming back, who was the science advisor on one of the Stargate Atlantis. I think Stargate Atlantis or one of the Stargates is.
I think she was Atlantis. Yeah.
That sounds correct. And has, done consulting for science fiction authors. Her background is in geology and geophysics. And so she sort of got a degree in disasters.
Okay. Really?
Yes. That part of that was the science of disasters, of earthquakes and plate slippage and lava and all that kind of stuff.
Awesome. Keep going. Awesome.
We've got a couple of science writers and science communicators coming. Cycurious, who she was a neuroscientist turned science writer. And Tina Say, who is her coworker, who's a geneticist and a science writer. They're the ones we're going to be talking about the genetics of fictional settings. So Orphan Black, X-Men, a little bit of Captain America. All those kinds of things.
I'm actually, we're all doing the last of our schedules. I'm actually looking at possibly her coming on one of my things to talk about, especially with Stranger Things now, because I just added that.
Oh, yeah.
Love to talk about this kind of, and this is giving nothing away, but the upside down world that a part of this is. So, yeah, I'd love to talk about that. So, very cool. But it's so interesting to me. You keep talking about these people and they're in all of our shows. Thank you, shows, even though you don't always get it right. Thank you, shows, for at least trying. So I'm sorry. Just keep going on that. But yeah.
Well, and one of the things that I try to do is find people who are scientists or science communicators who are also fans of this stuff, because I'm not really interested in having just scientists tell you why everything is wrong. That's no fun. Yeah. It's much more fun to say, well, here's what is right and here's how close we can get. Mm-hmm. Because you love this thing and I love this thing, and let's talk about our love of this thing and our love of science together.
Well, and especially because when I did actually a panel with you on Fringe a few years ago. I wish we need to do that again at some point. When both of us have time on our schedules.
Our schedule is free.
Figure that out. Yeah, right. And that's the thing too, for a very non-scientist guys, sociology major, history minor, getting an MPH now. Okay. I'm not into science. I am into science, but I'm not into science like most people are. But what is very interesting is finding so many of those fans who are able to really talk about it at both levels, because what I have found very wonderful about your talks, and my son has gone to a lot of your science stuff, is when he's like, after, you know, they were talking at this level, but afterwards I went and told him I'm doing this at high school. And then we just went like down this, you know, they go down a rabbit trail too, because it's more and more. And this is what you guys love. And finding fans, I would think, is not that tough anymore. I mean, I would love to at some point just do kind of an informal poll and go, all right, so how many of y'all got involved in this because you really did want to try to figure out how to go, you know, how to make it warp 10? Or how to make a transporter, or how to build a real lightsaber, or whatever, you know, or Logan's Run, how to implant a jewel in your thing to tell you if you were in good health or you were about to die, or only because you turned 21. But yeah, so I'm just curious about that too. So sorry.
No,
I'm just going down the rabbit hole here.
Well, and that's one of the things that I really enjoy about doing the science track, and what we're trying to do is sort of geek out together about all of these kinds of topics and talk about the science in a way that is hopefully interesting and accessible. Mm-hmm. And because I think it's easy to think of science and scientists as this thing that is done, you know, in these sort of remote towers by typically dudes in lab coats. And it's not like that. And scientists are people. One of the things that I always like to do whenever I'm talking about some scientific topic is also dive into the people and the personalities involved, because in many cases that shaped how the science was approached and how it was done.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, because you'll have people, like a lot of people know about Tesla versus Edison. Well, you have smaller scale versions of that playing out throughout science, where you'll have people sort of dividing into a couple of different camps depending on theories, and occasionally being just really hateful to each other. Mm-hmm. About it. Oh, yeah. A lot fewer electrocuted elephants, I'll say that much. But definitely a fair amount of anger and vitriol will occasionally show up.
Electrocuted elephants?
Oh, that was that's what Edison did to show that alternating current was terrible, and you shouldn't believe Tesla.
Really? I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
Oh, that poor elephant.
Really gruesome and terrible.
Yeah. Edison, that wasn't nice.
You don't watch Bob's Burgers, do you?
No, I do not.
Yeah.
I should watch Bob Burgers. This would help me understand.
Yeah, they did a whole episode on that and how horrible Edison is. Yeah, for killing that elephant.
They made a nod to that in the latest Ghostbusters, in fact, at the very beginning.
They did?
Oh, did they?
Yes.
Okay, I got to go see it again then. Oh, okay, they need more of my money. Okay, got it.
Yeah, when they're doing the tour at the beginning, they make a joke about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I do remember.
That's right.
I remember
that's
laughing about it. Yes.
Yes. Now I remember that.
I was like, that's a science joke.
So
I remembered it was a science joke. Yes. Keep going.
So are you building proton packs in your science track?
I wish.
Darn.
We do have, a couple of years ago, we had someone come by the name of Chad Ramey. And at the time, he was a junior in high school. And he showed up because he had built his own small-scale fusion reactor in his garage.
What?
Yeah.
You
No.
We talked about that on this very podcast.
I know.
No.
Yeah.
These Where days were his parents?
3D
Where
printing and robotics.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully behind the lead shielding.
How did that all work out, by the way? Is he still allowed to go places, or is he on a list somewhere?
No, he is still allowed to go places. He's at Georgia Tech and is coming back this year to talk about robotics, and also he's sort of talking about going down the science rabbit hole. Went down the science rabbit hole of the science behind grilling the perfect steak.
Okay, so
with a reactor.
John, I want to explain one thing. That is he allowed out, and is he on a list? Those are not mutually exclusive. I promise you, I don't care. He is on a lot of lists, and I am not listening to y'all about, oh, no, I'm sure he's not. Yeah, he is. He's on a lot of lists.
At least he's on your list.
I'm sure he's a very wonderful young man, and I'm glad he's at Tech because they know about shielding. So, okay. So you have him coming back. You were talking about some of the others. Who are some of the other more like a panelist, not like with a show or something like that, that you also have coming back that people might be, oh, that was a good one.
Well, so I'm really excited. Lolly DeRossi is coming back. She is a she's a teacher and a biologist and a sorry about that. The dog is very excited about people coming back.
I heard. And what kind of dog? We like dogs. John and I both have dogs.
She is, we think, part corgi, part yellow lab. So she's like a little stubby yellow lab with the little.
Oh my god! Well, that is the cutest thing in the world.
Never mind. Different podcast. I would say something, but anyway, go on.
Yeah, right.
That sounds so adorable. Like a little tiny lab with little tiny stubby legs.
Yep. And so we adopted her, and then we're looking this thing up online, and evidently. This is a deliberate crossbreeding that people do, and they call them corgidors. And I just want you to think about that as a name. It's like, I have a corgidor. It's like some Lewis Carroll thing from the, you know, The Hunting of the Snark or whatever.
Oh my god, that is so cute.
Hunting of the Snark.
So anyway, Lolly is just an inveterate video game player, as is Eric Spana, who's a biologist and geneticist from Duke. And like last year we teamed up on a bad video game science. I think some of that's going to be going on over on the video game track again this year. We've got Kara Santa Maria, who's coming. She is a science communicator, does a lot of YouTube video stuff. Really great at going through science and skeptics topics.
That's good.
So, I mean, we've got a lot of fun people. And I'm really excited about it.
Well, I think, okay, so I'm not going to be mean. I'm going to be very nice and politically correct and polite. Okay. I love talking to your people, even though they know I do X-Track and in the past knew I did paranormal. Mm-hmm. Because even though they're scientific and some of them are very, very skeptical, it's always interesting to talk to them because they're like, yeah, but I see what I still – no, I disagree. It's wrong. There is no scientific method. But right. I get why people want to find out. And I'm like, I'm always like, thank you.
Well, that I think is part and parcel with me finding people who are interested in media, in stuff like Star Wars and Star Trek. I think the same sort of respectful approach to that carries over to a more respectful approach to interacting with people in general.
Yeah, I would not disagree with you on that. Yeah. Yeah. So it's always fun. They're always fun to talk to.
I'm glad.
And guys, as I said, non-science person here, very, very non-science person. If you talk to me, and very funny that I'm married to somebody who studies as an aerospace engineer and my son is into physics and robotics.
It happens.
It doesn't. Yeah. I tried my best to make him a sociology major, but it's not going to happen. But yeah, it's really fun to talk to them and they have such interesting ideas when you go to these panels. Don't think that these panels are all just for, it's all for the people that are physicist or chemist or science people. This is for anybody. So please feel, don't get nervous about it. I mean, I'm sorry. I think that pun about Zika is awesome. Why mosquitoes suck.
That's going to be great and terrifying.
It's going to be great and terrifying. And Zika is a little great and terrifying. And, you know, I'm sure she's going to talk about dengue fever and all of the other things and malaria and all of the other things. Although, did you read that study about chickens and malaria?
I did not.
Okay, so they're now finding out that there seems to be something that chickens, a hormone that they excrete, some hormone, whatever, some smell, and mosquitoes don't like it.
Huh.
So if you sleep in a room, and they did studies on this, you sleep in a room where there's a caged chicken versus like a caged bunny rabbit or a caged dog or a caged goat, fewer mosquitoes come in the room with the chicken. Now, this is very preliminary stuff, but so they're looking at what is it that they're excreting that the mosquitoes don't like. And they're also finding it in some fruits and vegetables as well, and some plants. So that's now a new way of trying to fight malaria, because it's just an absolutely terrible, terrible disease. So sorry, just down that rabbit hole, because I actually do hear some of this stuff. But yeah, so sorry.
Right.
Chickens and malaria, guys. It's kind of a little scary to think about, but hey, they might help us fix it. Very cool.
That would be excellent.
That would be excellent.
So
that's as good as netting. So cool.
So where are you, is your track this year? I know a lot of people moved around. Have you moved this year or no?
We did. We sort of went, I don't know, from about 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock on a thing. So we're still in the second floor of the Hilton. And it used to be that if you came off the Skybridge from the Marriott, you turned right and went down that little hallway, and there were the little track rooms there.
Right.
In this case, you come off of the Skybridge and you go left because you know, the Hilton is sort of shaped like a triangle-y thing.
It's kind of on that level. It starts as a circle and then goes straight out. So yeah.
Right.
So if you go down the circle, if you go on the left side of the circle for that atrium, you've got it there.
So
right.
Are you in the room that used to be the gaming room, that not the gaming room, but the role-playing
gaming
room
panel?
Role-playing was back there for a while. They were also doing those military simulation workshops were back there.
Yeah.
And I think all of that sort of gotten shuffled around. So it's nice because I'm now in a room that'll hold, we're estimating about 150 people, which.
Oh, that's awesome. So you got a bigger room.
We got a bigger room to go along with it, which I'm excited about, because there were a number of times that we were cheek to jowl in the old room.
Yeah. You're making friends because, well, you know, if you're going to sit on my lap, I guess we got to be friends so we can both listen to this panel.
Yeah.
So now it is my understanding, though, that most of the more sciencey stuff is still going to be in the Hilton. So you're still over there. Skeptics are still over there. Robotics.
Well, robotics moved over to the Sheridan some time ago.
Oh, that's right. Because they have that. They do the stuff over there too, right?
Right. But what they ended up doing is sort of taking space. So space used to be upstairs in the Hilton, and then science, podcasting, and EFF and skeptics were all down on that little hallway
right
to the right as you came off of the Skybridge. Well, now they were going to have skeptics, EFF, space, and science down that left side hallway instead.
Oh, okay. So you guys are all taking over those big rooms. Those are all bigger rooms on the left.
Yeah, we all got to upgrade our rooms. And it also makes it a little nicer because skeptics already had a pretty decent sized room, but that was because they had two rooms sort of squished together,
right,
which meant it was long and narrow and sight lines were iffy. So now Derek will have a much more open space, which is great.
So do we know who went into those rooms over to the right, or?
I don't know. I think they may be using those for one-off special events.
I think they're using them for some of that, but also that might be some of those are going to be in the renovation stage too, maybe?
Oh, yeah. I hadn't thought about
remember,
that.
Because remember, a lot of the Hilton is the one that's going through the renovation. Now, John, I know you don't know which hotel the Hilton is. And that's okay. I'll lead you over there. But yeah, the Hilton is doing some renovation, which is why, you know, gaming got moved and some other things. But
I know it's
all kind of working out really well.
I know it's not the middle, because someone finally told me that Marriott begins with an M, middle begins with an M, therefore it's in the middle. So it's one of the other two, and I don't know which one.
Right. Okay. So it's like a, I guess, an M sandwich with H bread?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that a molecule? Is there an HMH molecule?
Yeah, sadly, no.
Natalie, no. Darn. That would be really kind of cool to look at. Okay, so you're over there now. In the past, I know you've done some stuff about STEM in schools, and you've talked about that, and you've also done I don't want to say you've done contests, but you did do a contest, because you did kind of a quiz show-ish.
Yeah, so we do on Sunday night a sort of variety show called Solve for X that Rachel Pendergrass is the curator for and runs that, and that's great. We're bringing back Evil Geniuses this year for Let's Kill the Planet. So all of my panelists get to come with their best plan for destroying the Earth, and people will vote on them, and we'll also have plans from the audience to discuss that.
Okay, wait. Best plan to destroy the Earth, really?
Yeah. And we're going to have the discussion. Are we talking about just destroying humanity, which turns out to be a lot easier than actually destroying the Earth, because the Earth is a big hunk of stuff?
Okay. So that's the question. Do we really actually want to blow up the pretty blue marble, or are we just trying to eliminate the worst offenders that live on the pretty blue marble?
Right.
Electing Donald Trump, is that one of the options?
That's opening one of the seals of the covenant, but I didn't say that out loud. Okay, so so you are still doing that. That's Sunday. What time are you guys going to be doing that? Because I heard this was a blast last
week. So SelfRex is 10 p.m. So our 10 p.m. panels every night are sort of our entertainment or I guess more mature content. So Sunday night at 10 is SelfRex, which is our big variety show. Saturday night at 10, we're doing Science versus Movies, where I've got a bunch of panelists who we're going to show clips from various movies and TV shows involving science, and the panelists will have to explain why the science is 100% correct. That last year was our first year to try that. And watching them try to understand and explain Channing Tatum's gravity boots explanation from Jupiter Ascending was, I think, the point where the whole panel just broke.
Well, I'd actually much rather like to do the Channing Tatum and John Candy kind of human dog.
Oh yeah.
Thing. I would actually rather hear that from geneticist than the boots.
Right.
That to me would be a lot more fun. And as you just said, okay, guys. So as we talk about these, remember, Dragon Con, I would say our twilight hour, or what do they call it in British TV?
Watershed.
The watershed.
Watershed.
Yeah. The watershed, pretty much for any panel, unless it is specifically said it's not, is about 8:30. Like, I think I'm doing a 7 or an 8:30 in paranormal where we're actually going to do kids' ghost tales. All right. And that's actually for an under 18 audience. And it's specifically stated that way. But if it's 8:30 and it's a panel and you're like, well, it says it's for general audience, they didn't put mature. Ask somebody up at the front, ask the staff or whatever. But that's usually about our watershed time is 8:30. I promise you, there is pretty much no scheduling going on at 10, 11:30 or ongoing until we restart the next regular hour, 8:30, 10 a.m. That's going to be for kids. So as you were talking about that, I just kind of want to repush that we are really trying to be family friendly, but that 8:30, 10 o'clock, kind of our watershed. Okay.
Right.
I would say as a parent of a teenager, I was pretty much trying to have him upstairs and not seeing stuff when he was around 12 and 13 that was starting to come out a little later, a little at that twilight hour. So you got mature stuff at night at 10, but do you have some like kids panels or really kids friendly?
We do. So Sunday morning from 10 to about 12:30, we're doing our Science Power Hour, which is it's a big set of hands-on experiments that you can come and you can try and do various and sundry things. And that's one of our big kid-friendly events.
Awesome. What are some of the experiments? Wait. What are you doing?
What am I doing?
One or two. I promise.
So we are going to show you how you can figure out the pH of something using rose petals.
Ooh.
Which I think is really neat. You can make a pH acid base indicator out of rose petals.
Very cool.
What else are we going to do? I think we're doing the pocket solar system again this year, where you take a length of register tape and you fold it and are able to mark where the planets are in the solar system. And you start to realize just how far out Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto are. They're a long way away.
Wow, very cool. Okay, awesome. That's cool. I'm sorry. So I just wanted to, what? Anything blowing up? No, I mean, not blowing up in big, but just,
We have wanted to do more fire-producing stuff before and realized that was probably not a good idea.
No.
But that was not going to work.
Okay, so, sorry. But that's awesome. So, okay, so most of your kid stuff is going to be more at that 10:30 a.m.
Right. Monday morning at 10, we've got folks doing the science songs, which is an all ages sing along of just sort of fun and goofy science themed songs.
Interplanet Janet?
No, it's the original. It's some original work some of the performers who come to Dragon Con.
Oh, very cool. Okay, sorry. I Interplanet Janet. It's one of those great ones for me. So okay,
it's one of my childhood.
Yes, it is. It is how I learned the preamble to the Constitution. Thank you, Schoolhouse Rock. I got an A in that.
Cool. All right. So again, you're over in the Hilton. To the left as you come off the skybridge. Okay. Oh, I know which one you are because the one that the skybridge, if you go to the left, come in the other direction, you'd go into the bar. Oh, I know where the bar is. So you must be on the other end.
You have to flip that.
John, if you go in the bar, you have to go downstairs to go to the bar.
What?
So No.
What I'm saying is on the skybridge. So as I'm imagining myself walking through, if I was to make a left off the skybridge in one of the hotels, I'd wind up in the bar. So therefore, it must be the other hotel. My brainy worky.
Okay.
All right. So, Stephen, what we've been doing this season is...
All I can think about is how do you get around DragonCon?
Very slowly?
He has people that help him. I'm going to get you a service.
Well, it's going to be very interesting because a lot of the people that I have been going through DragonCon with... in years past are not going to make it this year. So we'll see. We'll see how
this
it all works
so
out.
So fun.
I'm going to be sitting in a room wanting to talk about, oh, I don't know, Fringe or something. And I'll be in the KT.
be like, wait, what? Yeah.
I don't understand what Mickey Mouse has to do with any of this. Well, no, wait. Yes, I do. Hold on. Allow me to draw the parallel.
Let's talk about Walter and LSD and Mickey Mouse. And as PJ runs to kill you, that will be awesome. Okay.
We've been doing little quizzes at the end now because you're science. Science is usually we've been trying to keep them to the last 30 years, but science is forever and always. So it's going to be a pop quiz, and Lee loves pop quizzes.
Uh-oh.
So we're going to go back and forth. You can steal if the other person doesn't know the answer. We'll start with you.
I can't see you pointing. Which you is you?
You being Steven.
Okay.
And so you will go next.
Yeah, I know I'm going last. It's okay.
All right. So, Steven, your first question. What is the largest living species of lizard?
Largest living. Is that the monitor lizard?
No. Lee, do you know?
Komodo dragon.
That is correct. Wow, Lee's on the board already.
Lee. I'm going to do embarrassingly bad and then feel bad about myself.
How many hearts does an octopus have, Lee?
Two.
Incorrect. Steven, you know?
Oh, this is biology. Three?
That is correct.
Sweet.
Steven, what is a semiconductor device used to amplify and switch electronic signals in electronic power?
In electronic power?
Yeah. It's a semiconductor device used to amplify and switch electronic signals and electronic power.
Is that an op amp?
No. Although bonus points for saying a word that probably most of us don't know what it is. Lee.
Transistor?
That is correct. Okay, this is weird. I guess if the first person gets the wrong answer, then maybe it's easier. Anyway, Lee, this is for you. Which planet in our solar system is the hottest?
That would be Mercury.
Incorrect. Steven.
I do know this one. This is Venus because of the greenhouse gases.
Oh, okay. Correct. I was wondering. I was like... I knew it had to be a trick question somehow because I'm like, but I get greenhouse gases. I just did work on that.
I get greenhouse gases too every time I go to Mexican. All right.
Yeah. Okay. So we're still 2-2.
Yes.
Okay. Keep going.
Steven, which law states for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction? Give the name and number.
Okay. So every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. That's one of Newton's laws. I just have to remember which one. Third.
That is correct. Steven takes the lead.
Yeah, like we had that as well.
Lee, which scientific word, when translated, means anything that can produce disease?
Anything that can produce disease?
Yes.
What scientific word means that?
Yeah, when translated. I imagine from Latin.
I'm sitting here thinking about...
I'm pretty positive it's not Cardathian.
No, I'm thinking anything that can produce disease would epidemiological?
No. Steven, you know the answer.
It's going to be derived from Latin.
I know.
Pathogen, pathogen is correct.
Okay. Thank you. I'm like, yeah.
Steven.
Okay, Steven's got four. So just go in and let him win.
What was the, what has the chemical formula H2O2?
Hydrogen peroxide.
That is correct. Yep.
I knew that one. I did.
Lee.
He's got five.
Well, you we're going to keep going. Yes. Cause I'm enjoying you not knowing things.
Excuse my language. Sorry.
Who was the decibel named after? The decibel named after.
The decibel?
Mm-hmm.
The decibel. Mr. Desi.
Steven.
His last name was Bell. I do not know his first name.
Alexander Graham. Well, his first name was Alexander. Really? I believe his middle name was Graham.
It was that Bell that, yes. That came from. Okay. Interesting.
It was William Bell, actually.
That's decibel French. Is, like, the unit is actually a bell, but you end up doing a decibel.
Yeah, it's dB. Like
right, sort of like a millibel.
Yeah.
All right, we'll do
it. 85 decibels is where you actually cause noise pollution and cause problems with noise.
Oh, that you know, but pathogen, no, you don't?
No, I didn't know pathogen. Sorry.
All right, Stephen, what is the only rock that floats in water?
The only rock? Basalt.
No.
Lee has her hand up like Hermione.
Okay. Yeah.
Pumice.
That is correct.
Of course, pumice stones.
Lee, what type of number has a real and imaginary part?
Oh, you rat.
I certainly didn't lay these out in any particular order.
No, of course you didn't. Real, what kind of number has a real and imaginary part?
That is correct.
A complex number.
That is correct.
Well done.
Oh, wow. All right. Steven, what elementary particle can be up, down, strange, charm, bottom, and top?
That's a quark.
Or a bi, but yes, that's true.
Or a poly, or no, I'm sorry.
Poly.
See, you get into physics, I can start to answer these questions.
He doesn't like biology.
Lee, I started out as a biologist and then ran to chemistry and then ran to physics.
Well, here's a chemistry question for Lee. What is the chemical symbol for tungsten?
The chemical symbol for tungsten?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that TU?
Nope.
Oh.
Steven.
W.
That is correct.
It's just a W. Why a W?
Just a W. Help. I think it's a Latin term. It's one of those that had people were calling it by its Latin name, which is like, whoa, 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 whoa. It starts with a W.
Okay.
All right. We have about five more. What is, Stephen, what is a highly magnetized rotating neuron star that emits a beam of electromagnetic radiation?
That's a pulsar.
That is correct. Lee, what scientist is said to have shouted, "Eureka!"
What scientist shouted "Eureka"? That was Galileo.
Nope. Steven.
No, it was the guy.
No, I'm going to get this wrong. Because it was the crown and the bath.
It was the bath. Yeah, that's why I thought it was. Who's the guy?
Archimedes.
The
Archimedes.
Oh, okay, that's it. Yeah.
Hold on. My headphone unplugged. Did you give an answer?
Archimedes.
Ah, Archimedes is correct.
Yeah, because I remember the bath part because he's in the bath and he's realizing how he floats and the displacement of the water, and that's what he does. And I thought it was okay.
Okay.
And the Archimedes principle.
Right.
Steven, what science fiction writer wrote the three laws of robotics?
Isaac Asimov.
That's correct. Now you're up to 10 to 4 right now.
What a freaking prize. I hate you. I'm going to come up with something. I don't know what yet.
All right, Lee, what is the second most common gas found in the air that we breathe?
What is the second most common gas in the air we breathe? Mm-hmm. That actually would be oxygen.
That is correct. And let's see, we got two more. What is the human body's largest organ, Stephen?
Skin.
That is correct.
Damn it, I knew that one.
And last, who is the third person to walk on the moon, Lee?
Who is the third person to walk on the moon? That would have been the second Apollo. Because it was Armstrong, And
oh, I thought you meant the second Apollo from the series of Battlestar Galactica. Okay.
No, just give me a minute. I got to talk this out. So it was Armstrong and his partner, and then it was the second manned as Apollo 12. And I should know this. Crap, don't know.
Steven?
Apollo 12. I know it's Apollo 12.
I just went through the same sort of reasoning. I'm like, okay, it was two people Armstrong, at a time, so right, it wasn't Apollo 11. It had to be Apollo 12.
Yeah, it's Armstrong and why can't I remember who was with Armstrong?
Aldrin, right?
Aldrin, right. And but then...
I don't remember who... Was that Cernan?
No. No, it's not him. Pete Conrad.
Conrad.
Yes, that, Conrad. Yes.
Okay.
All right, so the final score is Lee, 5 and a Q-bert, and Steven... Q-bert. Steven, 11. Congratulations, Steven.
Congratulations, Steven.
You can keep
and
your track.
By the way, I hope everyone is noticing a pattern in these little things John is coming up with.
They're all things really, Lee's horrible at.
They're really all things I'm horrible at, and he's enjoying my horribleness. But I am actually, Steven, thank you. This was awesome. And I learned some things.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yay! So it's just like the science
Yay
track.
For learning.
It's enjoyable, and you learn things.
Yeah.
Wait, what do you say? Hold on, okay. All right.
I know that she's quite on board with that.
Well, it depends on the science class or the teacher, because I've had very good teachers, and I've had...
I was talking about the science track at Dragon Con, Lee.
Oh, okay. Going back to Dragon Con. Steven is very good. We like Steven.
All right.
I'm glad. Thank you.
All right, so again, it's not the Marriott, it's not the Hyatt, it's the Hilton.
Hilton.
It is the Hilton.
Hilton to the left. If you take a left and you go to the bar, you're in the wrong. You're at the wrong end of the three things.
Yeah.
So, until next. Oh, where can people find you, Stephen? By the way.
Well, you can find me online at Stephen Stephen.grenades grenades.com. I'm also available on Twitters with the handle Sargent, Sargent, kind of like John Singer Sargent. You can tell I got on there really early. I was like,
yes.
Oh, this doesn't matter. I'm just going to pick a name. This will be fun.
Yeah.
I'll never use this other than talking to my friends. Yeah.
Right. I was like this is going to stick around and be a thing. So those are the easiest
140
ways to get
characters. Who the hell thought that up?
Right.
All right, fine.
Back when it was TWITTR before it had an E.
Exactly. Oh, how did they ever buy that? Did they had to buy that from somebody, right?
I guess.
I mean, because okay. Anyway, we're gonna. That's in the. Oh, there isn't a track. Oh, probably. We'll say that's EFF. We'll talk to EFF about that. All right.
Right.
So until next time, you really have Sargent, huh?
I really do.
We've talked about this before.
I know.
About
we have.
Last year, and you're still so damn jealous you can't stand.
I am, and you know, and I was on pretty well. I actually got my name, so I mean, I guess that works out for me. But
that's good.
But you know, still, it's, okay. Anyway, until next time.
That's my greatest accomplishment now.
I will be remembered as having Sergeant. All right. Until next time. I almost said Sergeant. For Steven and Lee, this is John saying peace.
Bye. Oxygen.
And we're
Archimedes.
Out.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @ The Unique Geek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.